The reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, in page 966. The Visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he'd called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May God bless the reading of his word.
So we're going to look at this passage today as we kind of end our Christmas season. Tomorrow is the final day of our Christmas thing, Epiphany. And maybe you're glad to see the finish of Christmas. Some people are. Can't wait to get their Christmas tree out. Maybe it's gone already. Maybe you never had it to begin with. Or is it still standing strong? But if you go down to the car park down there, you see many trees have been dumped already. People just want to move on. But we don't want to move on just for the moment. We want to reflect on this Christmas story. Three aspects of it. The wise men, the magi, the star, and the shepherds, which will lead us into communion. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem. Who were these people? Magi is a very hard word to translate. Often it's translated wise men. But Magi were a tribe of people from the Middle East. We see them in this part of the story in the New Testament, but we find them scattered throughout the Old Testament as well. We find them in the book of Jeremiah, but even more so in the book of Daniel. They were people of great influence and power. If we think there were kind of three geeky kind of guys who looked at the stars and then came to Bethlehem, we're very wrong. These people were king makers. They had influence, power. They studied the stars, astronomy, and this mysterious side of astrology. They were into mathematics and architecture and agriculture. They were a priestly group of people. There were so many things, but they were very important. They were in the royal court. So they had great political power, great religious power, great everything. No one could be a leader in the Middle East if they did not give their approval. They were the king makers. So when the Magi come to see Jesus looking for the new king, it should give us a whole new impression. It wasn't just three people just weighing up to that stable. They never came to the stable anyway. They came some time later, where it says that Mary and Joseph were in a house. So this was some time later, but these people were full of power, full of influence. But they came to Jesus. They came to Bethlehem. How would these people even know to do that? Why would they even think a king was going to be born? I mean, what was it in their minds? They were so far away, 1,000 miles as the crow flies. What would put it in their minds to think about a nation far, far away? A little place, a little town, a little king, in one sense. What would put it in their minds? And as you read the book of Daniel, the people, the Jews, were taken away into exile into Babylon. Remember that? The whole exile story? Daniel was one of them, just a young man, and he was trained, educated in all the Babylonian ways. He became one of the wise men, the Magi. And do you remember King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream back in Daniel chapter 2? Go home and read it. It's fascinating. He had a dream that really troubled him. And he gathered all his wise men, his Magi, together, and he said, I've had this dream. It's driving me crazy. I want you to tell me what it's all about. And they said, certainly, King, you tell us what the dream was and we'll give you the interpretation. No. You tell me what I dreamt and then tell me what it means. Because if you don't, I'm going to cut you into pieces. It's great, isn't it? What a motivating speech. So it's not like he told them the dream and they said, well, it means this. No, I said, you tell me what my dream was and then tell me what it means. And if you can, you'll have great rewards. But if you can't, curtains. Well, there you go. They all said, King, this is just ridiculous. There's no one on the face of the earth could do that. So the king put out an order that they'd all be executed. So Daniel thought this wasn't very fair. And anyway, we know the story that Daniel was able to interpret the dream, not because of him, but because of his amazing God. Daniel goes to the king and he says this, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. No one. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Daniel interprets the dream. Then the king says this, or the text says this, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. He placed Daniel in charge of the Magi. These were the very elite of society, and Daniel was put in charge of them. He was respected by them because they could see that God was in him. Daniel was a prophet. He knew the prophecies. He made the prophecies. So how did these Magi, turning up hundreds of years later, know anything about a king? Well, because of Daniel and people like Daniel. He had raised their expectations, and they were looking for a king. Daniel ruled for 64 years through various kings. He didn't hide his faith. He shared his faith. He wasn't reluctant to show his faith. And he would have communicated these great truths to the Magi of the time. They knew his prophecies, and they may well know that famous prophecies of the 70 weeks in Daniel. So they may well have known that this was a time period when to expect the Messiah. And so they were looking out for the Messiah because Daniel had prophesied his coming. And so they looked for a sign, and they found a sign, a star. Now, what was this star? The Star of Bethlehem has been speculated about for a long time. It's traditionally linked with the star prophecy, which is found in the book of Numbers that says this, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. Other writers suggest that it was a comet, like Halley's Comet, that was visible in 12 BC. Ancient writers describe the comets as hanging over specific cities, just like the Star of Bethlehem was hanging over, hovering over the place where Jesus was born. One of the more recent hypotheses in 2005 was that the Star of Bethlehem was a supernova or a hypernova. If you're into all this astronomy, this will give sense to you. Another suggestion was that the star was a conjunction of various planets, including Jupiter and the moon, and the constellation of Aries in 6 BC. Now, Jesus wasn't born in zero. We know we say about A, C, and BC, but it's generally accepted that Herod died in 4 BC. And of course, Herod was the king when Jesus was born. Remember, he tried to kill all the babies and so on. So Jesus was born, by our reckoning, before 4 BC. And this conjunction happened in 6 BC, which would fit in with the kind of time. Jupiter is a planet associated with kings. Aries was a constellation that was associated with Judea. So you can see what we've been going through their minds if this in fact happened. But regardless of whether this was a brilliant new star just zapped into space, or whether it was a more natural phenomenon, it doesn't really matter, because all were supernatural. For God to bring it together, or to make it happen at that particular time, to lead these particular people to Bethlehem, was a supernatural act. But the Magi were looking for a sign. You often see signs that says wise men saw Jesus, and they still do. And I guess that's the lesson from this story. It was 1,000 miles, as I say, but as the crow flies, and they didn't go as the crow flies, so it would have taken them a long time to get there. And their journey had been prophesied in Isaiah chapter 60. It says, nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Herds of camels will cover your land, and all Sheba will come bearing gold and frankincense. Isaiah chapter 60. But they came to worship. They were seeking. And again, the Bible is all about seeking Him. All the way through, over and over and over again. If you put in that little thing, if you do a Google thing of seeking the Lord, you'll find many references. Jeremiah 29 says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And then Jesus himself said in Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Ask, a knock and the door will be opened to you. So this idea of seeking the Lord, and our seeking, our searching, our pursuit must be continuous. It's not about our seeking him and finding him and wandering off home. Our vision slips. We know what we're like. We must seek him continually. And if we do, we will find him. One of the kings of Israel, Rehoboam, it says this, that he did evil. Why? Because he had not set his heart to seek the Lord. He just drifted along. And drifting along spells danger. Again, if we think about three wise men strolling into Bethlehem, we need to think again. These were powerful people. These were kingmakers. And they would have traveled in a large group of people, with soldiers, security, all sorts of servants. Could have been hundreds, could have been thousands of people traveling in a huge caravan. They brought gifts suitable for a king. Maybe they didn't even realize what those gifts signified. But these gifts were valuable. Gold signified royalty. Frankincense signified deity. And myrrh foretold the fact that Jesus would die. But then having found him, remember God spoke to him in a dream, said, don't go back the way you came, go back a different route. And again, I suppose there's something in that for us as well. When we see Jesus, we can never go the same route. The path that we walk has to be different. That's a different road, a different way. We follow him who is the way. Going back by the same route cannot happen. We take a different route. We have a different destiny. And for all of us who have encountered Jesus, that is the truth for us. We're on a different path to him. So very finally, let's just consider for a moment the shepherds again. There were shepherds abiding in the fields at night over their sheep. There was one time of year when the shepherds would be out in the fields at night. Only one time of year. And that was during the lambing season. They watched over their sheep at night when the lambs were going to give birth. Isn't it so appropriate that this story is of a lamb being born, the Lamb of God being born? And the shepherds who are abiding in the fields watching for the birth of their sheep were the first to witness the birth of the Lamb of God. But secondly, sheep were found all over Israel, of course. But the lambs that were born near Bethlehem were special. For they were specifically bred for use as sacrificial lambs in the temple. These lambs were born to die. And isn't it amazing that the Lamb of God born in that stable was born to die? A sacrificial lamb. The perfect, spotless lamb. In Luke chapter 2, he says that the baby, Jesus, was wrapped in cloths and laid in a manger. Then in Luke chapter 23, he said his body was taken and wrapped in cloths and laid in a tomb. A lamb to die, born into our world so that we could be born into his kingdom. And that is what this is about. Christmas is a lovely story. But the whole purpose of the Lamb of God coming was that the Lamb of God would give his life for you and for me. He offered his life. He laid down his life because he loved us so much. So isn't the Christmas story beautiful? Deep and meaningful. There's a bell tolls. Reminds us of the gift of God to us at just the right time, seen by kingmakers, seen by shepherds. And as we take his body and his blood, the bread and the wine, hopefully seen by us as well, the Lamb of God who laid down his life for you.